The TFR is up for Discovery's launch. Operation Icebridge is back in the skies over Antarctica. And who knew unmanned balloons could be so dangerous? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 27th, 2010. NASA's next two shuttle launches will attract more interest than any since the first two, because they're the last two. Technicians at Kennedy Space Center are readying Discovery for its last launch, scheduled for this coming Monday at 4:40 p.m. Eastern Time. The crew members have been in quarantine since Monday afternoon. After Discovery takes off on STS-133, there will be only one scheduled mission left before the shuttle fleet retires. Endeavour is tentatively scheduled for launch on February 27th. There's a TFR posted for Monday's launch. Get the details before you fly near the Space Coast. A different sort of NASA mission is launching from South America, one which reflects the new focus on Earth observation given the agency. Scientists are back in Punta Arenas, Chile, the southernmost city in the world, where they depart to conduct airborne surveys over Antarctica. Operation Icebridge Sunday began its second year of monitoring the region's changing sea ice, ice sheets, and glaciers, using NASA's specially equipped DC-8. Each flight lasts about 11 hours. The operation will run through mid-November. Tools include a laser instrument to define surface changes, radar to see below it, and a gravity instrument to measure the shape of seawater-filled cavities at the edge of fast-moving glaciers. Researchers will survey targets of ongoing and potential rapid change, including the West Antarctic ice sheet, which is the area that has the greatest potential to rapidly increase sea level. Back on April 28th, NASA attempted to launch a balloon into the upper atmosphere, carrying the Nuclear Compton Telescope, designed to look for distant galaxies. But the balloon ended up dragging the payload about 150 yards into a fence in somebody's car, partially damaging the telescope and shutting down all NASA balloon ops in the months since. Michael Weiss of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center led a panel investigating that mishap. He notes, quote, "In the course of our investigation, we found surprisingly few documented procedures for balloon launches. No one considered the launch phase to be a potential hazard," unquote. The panel's report has identified 25 issues, including insufficient risk analysis, contingency planning, personal training, technical knowledge, government oversight, and public safety accommodations. NASA says its balloon program office will resume launches only after it has implemented and verified new procedures to safeguard launch crews and the public. Goddard Space Flight Center Director Rob Strain observes, quote, "We've learned a lot from this incident, and we'll have a better balloon program because of it," unquote. Up next on ANN, the Army pulls the trigger on the Apache Block 3. More E-jets are going to Japan. And Dayer Cicada taps an industry vet to support operators in the UK. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 27th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Army has given the go-ahead to Boeing to begin low-rate initial production of the AH-64D Apache Block 3 helicopter. The contract is reportedly worth $247 million and covers production of 8 aircraft, with the first to be delivered in October of next year. The Apache Block 3 enhances the capabilities of previous variants with superior flight performance and dramatically increased network communications capabilities. The Army plans to eventually acquire 690 of the machines, and Boeing will produce the new or upgraded machines at its plant in Mesa, Arizona. Embraer has signed a contract with Fuji Dream Airlines of Japan for the sale of an Embraer 175. It's the fifth E-jet in the airline's fleet. The new aircraft will be configured in a single class with 84 seats. The order also includes an option for one additional plane and marks the quick expansion of FDA's fleet in a highly competitive market. Tsuneji Sagawa, Senior Managing Director of Fuji Dream Airlines, commented, quote, "Since FDA started offering flights in July 2009, we have made significant progress in developing our network and business. This progress has been partly due to the operational flexibility offered by the E-Jets family, which has allowed us to explore and capitalize on new routes," unquote. And no, Fuji Dream Airlines has no Dreamliners on order. It has an all-E-Jet fleet. Dare Cicada has tapped entrepreneur and long-term TBM owner-operator John Merry to establish a new company and build a team to take on the distributorship of the TBM 850 family in the UK and Ireland. Effective in January, the new organization will also handle maintenance, tech support, and spare parts from a soon-to-be-announced airport base. The deal was signed at NBAA last week. Merry founded Jet Brokers Europe in 2009 after managing several successful automotive groups in Europe. Of the new opportunity, he says, quote, "We plan to announce the new team in a few weeks and will immediately set about building the infrastructure ready for the new year," unquote. Still ahead, no runway is really closed when the pilot's a senator. A love triangle leads to the death of a skydiver. And if a B-25 could be jinxed, this might be the one. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 27th. I'm Paul Plack. All Republicans are hoping their party retakes control of the U.S. Senate next week. But Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe may have more reason than most to hope for the big GOP win. If it happens, he'll likely wind up chairman of the Aviation Subcommittee. And that clout could come in handy. See, last week, Inhofe reportedly landed his Cessna at Port Isabel, Texas, on his way to his home on South Padre Island. Despite the big X's on the runway, it was closed for maintenance. According to the account in the Washington Post, Inhofe was flying with three passengers and preparing to land when he saw the closure markings and workers doing painting and general maintenance. So, he overflew the workers and says he landed well off to the side. In his defense, Inhofe says he didn't get the NOTAM before making the flight. He adds that he called the FAA after he landed to make sure everything was okay. When he departed the airport on Sunday, he was careful not to take off on a closed runway. He took off from a taxiway instead. Inhofe says he notified an airport official in advance of his plan. Yes, there is another half, and this is how they live. We have another aerospace love triangle making news, but this one doesn't involve NASA or diapers. Unfortunately, it does involve a successful murder attempt and has resulted in a successful murder prosecution in Belgium. 26-year-old schoolteacher Els Klotemans was reportedly stoic as the guilty verdict was read. She'll face from 3 years to life in prison for the death of Els Van Doren, a woman with whom she was competing for the affections of Marcel Sommers. All three were avid skydivers and went jumping together in 2006. Sommers chose to spend the night before the jump with Van Doren. Klotemans had access to Van Doren's chute. The next day it failed, and investigators found the straps had been deliberately cut. Klotemans has insisted she's innocent, but the jury agreed with the prosecutor, who's called her a psychopathic killer. And finally today, a group is formed with the specific goal of restoring a B-25, that was pulled from the depths of South Carolina's Lake Greenwood in 1983. Skunky went down on a training mission, ironically on D-Day in 1944, according to the Aircraft Resource Center. The airplane was reportedly in very bad shape when it broke the surface of the water again in 1983, but it was partially restored in 1992 and has been displayed at events including the 50th anniversary of Doolittle's raid. It was at Columbia Air Base the Raiders volunteered for that historic 1942 mission. The state reports the South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation has been formed to raise money to buy and restore Skunky and to found a museum dedicated to historic aircraft. The plane is currently owned by the Celebrate Freedom Foundation, and the terms of the purchase deal have not yet been revealed. Celebrate had intended to have it displayed at the State Museum, but those plans fell through, and nothing else could be arranged either. So the plane's been sitting outdoors on the tarmac at Hamilton Owens Airport in Columbia. You know, if I was Skunky, I'd be pretty disillusioned with humans by now, starting with whoever gave me the name. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, from biz jets to Jetsons, we have some background on recent developments at Bombardier and Terrafugia. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.